Connor, I can't believe our plane crashed. Where are we?
Jeremy, it seems we're in the underwater city of Rapture.
Would you kindly pick up that shortwave radio?
I sure don't want to, but I will.
I'm Atlas, and I aim to keep you alive by telling you about Super NPC Radio's upcoming Bioshock Games Club series, only at patreon.com/supernpcradio. Would you kindly do that?
I didn't want to listen to an entertaining and funny Games Club series about the original Bioshock before, but now I simply must.
I just inhaled some plasmids and I feel invincible.
Whoa! I can shoot electricity out of my mitts.
Would you kindly listen to the Games Club? It's available at the $5 DJ Toad tier with new episodes every Friday.
Weird. The more this guy asks us to do stuff, the more I want to do it.
Same. I might have to subscribe at the $5 DJ Toad tier at patreon.com/supernpcradio after all. Look, it's our friend Otacon.
Sure, Mr. Atlas. I'll piss myself, but only because you asked me specifically to do so.
I didn't ask you to piss yourself.
Whoa, that daddy sure is big.
Would you kindly get out of there? That thing will kill ya.
Maybe it's weak to piss?
I can't believe that worked.
All I heard was listen to the Bioshock Games Club, and that's what I'm gonna do. To you live this morning from the Mushroom Kingdom WKBAG Studios. Wario K. Rule Bowser. Andros Gannon. This is Video Games, a comedy show. I'm your host, Jeremy Schmidt. And Daddy's got his nighttime voice on today, folks. I went out last night and had one cigarette, so I sound like an old gravelly man. We got a great show lined up for you today. We have the lovely and funny and talented Connor McCabe. Hello.
Oh, I ate too much and I'm feeling a little bloated.
Connor, just
what?
Just
I'm not allowed to say my piece.
And could you hear that? Could you hear your sound?
I could. It's great. It's funny because when I hear Kieran Culkin on that clip,
yeah.
At first, when he says the name Connor, it sounds like I'm saying my own name to me.
Yeah, yeah. You and Kieran Culkin have a lot in common. Similar swag, similar voice.
Similar voice. And we both were in the same a department store in New York City in December 2022 for a moment, and I noticed him, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Kieran Culkin. So the list goes on.
Yeah, we often do forget about that moment, but
No, we don't talk about it.
I'm glad you brought it up. We also do have the hilarious, talented, always freaking just ripping it so good, Mikey Stevens.
Oh, man, I ate too many cigarettes, so
I love Yoshi.
All right, and we're having a good time here, in sunny Los Angeles. We're gonna talk about video game bloat later on in the episode. Bloat. We all know what bloat is. It's just too much stuff. There's just too much going on here. It's not good. I'm not loving it. It's just kind of, you want to trim the hedges a bit. You want to tidy up those hedges.
We knew this was coming, right? We knew it was coming. That's how I feel. I'm not surprised, and I'm just like, I knew it.
Yeah.
It feels like a State of the Union of sorts that we're sort of putting on today that is very needed.
Exactly, and it's exactly why we also dressed up nice for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But yeah, before we get into all that, I just gotta know, what have you been playing? It's got too many words for the chant to work, Connor McCabe.
I don't think I've talked to either of you about this, but I have recently dipped my toe back into science. I've actually been, I had been taking some time to work on a physics degree.
Hell?
I took some physics in high school. And so through that degree, a requirement is that we need to have a spring internship this semester. So I've actually been, swapping time each week between the Aperture and Black Mesa Laboratories, folks.
Okay, yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I did like that. So you're interning over there?
You had me. I was locked in. I was like, this could be real.
I was taken for a ride.
You're like, one semester he's taking a video game writing course, and the next he's taking a physics course?
How is it over there? You run into any Cave Johnsons?
You know what?
So wait, hang on. What are you, just Portal? What are you playing?
I have been truly playing a lot of Valve stuff. The most recent Call Me By Your Game co-op episode, I got our Half-Life 1 crew from last year back together. Michael Hearn, Garrett Morlang, Kristen Thorson, who we did the Advent Children episode with.
Yes, the Brain Trust.
Mm-hmm. Got that crew back together from last year's episode. And because, you know, I basically played through all of Half-Life 2, episode 1 and 2 for the first time, which... I know the three of us have talked about the Portal series a bunch,
yes.
But I really enjoyed my time with Half-Life 1, you know, 25 years after it came out.
Yeah.
But there are some very clear and obvious things just haven't aged well about the game, and it's clearly got some quality of life stuff that could use improvements. Of course, I chose to play the original, so that's kind of on me.
Right.
But Half-Life 2 has a like small percentage of those issues, and I just ate that stuff up, folks.
Still holds up like quite a bit. Yeah. Freaking sweet.
I think so. I like really I'm a sucker for a first-person adventure narrative, which is great because, you know, Jeremy and I are playing through BioShock currently for our current games club. But yeah, Half-Life 2 really impressed me. There's some things that I missed about Half-Life 1. Like, there's not as much alien stuff, but I do like that it's like the fallout of what if, you know, this portal was opened up to another world or like a, you know, sort of universe. And how would, like, a government entity respond or an imposing sort of group, a military? And, yeah, Stevens, I'm sure you've played this game being a Valve head.
Loved it. Yeah, this was Orange Box. So,
yeah,
I was an Orange Box guy. Yeah, I mean, the engine Source, that's when Source was introduced and it was revolutionized physics in games. Speaking of physics.
Hey.
But yeah, what's it called? The gravity gun.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I remember seeing a demo, like it was like a year before Half-Life 2 actually came out, and they were demoing like what physics could look like in this game. And my mind was fucking blown, and it just changed everything, changed every first person shooter, every like. Any kind of first-person experience was all trying to mimic what Source and what Half-Life 2 had done after that. Truly, like, legendary. I was going to say, like, I don't know if they get their flowers, but I think they fucking do. I think everyone knows and respects what Half-Life 2 brought to the game.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of weird, though, that it is kind of old now.
Yeah.
Like it's
20 years old this year.
Oh my god. I think we all remember it like coming out like it was yesterday. Like it just feels like a new game, but it has been a long time.
And you said it was 20 years?
20 years because it came out in
2004. And I wasn't even alive then.
I know.
That's how young I am.
You weren't alive. July was in diapers.
July was in diapers easily.
Yeah.
It really does hold up so well, and I was impressed by so many of the moments in the game, whether it was physics or the way that they just kind of let you run around while the narrative is going on. Like, you're not fixed to a certain spot, which is a choice. Like, I think some games are like, no, we're showing you a cinematic cutscene. They do it great, too. But this is just so fun that you can be dicking around while you're getting, like, the most important news like you could have.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. And then I was out of town.
You just mean how, like, characters will just still be kind of, like, talking. And you could just be like, all right, I'm going to walk away.
Gordon, are you listening?
Yeah.
Gordon, yes. The free man.
Yeah. The free man. That's great. And then I was out of town last weekend, brought my Switch with me, wasn't even playing anything on my Switch, and I was like, you know what? You know, after a bit of wine tasting during the day.
Okay. Red or white.
And we're talking everything, Jeremy.
Everything
in between.
Just mixing
orange.
Them up. Mixing
oh,
them together.
Yeah. Red. White.
We got a
sparkling.
We got a blue in there.
Cold.
Rosé.
Piping hot.
Cold. Piping hot wine.
Yes. I did go wine tasting with my family last weekend for the first time. And that stuff
cooked.
It was great. And it cooks you early to where even if you don't get drunk, you're tired. And so each of the 2 days we were there was back in my room at like 9:30 and played like 2 hours of Portal 2, just booted it up. And that game, which we did a whole co-op episode on, is in my personal top 10. And it even rose a ranking because I've been just cruising through it. And it's as impressive to me today as it was when I first played it.
And
it
was that your, is this kind of like your second time revisiting it?
Second time.
We did kind of a
short amount of time too. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you played that first one not too long ago.
Last year, I think. Yeah.
When we did that co-op, I think I talked about this on that app, but like I was cruising through the puzzles. Did you experience any of that where you were kind of like, oh, I remember this one?
Some of them I remembered like without even playing it, and others, as soon as I would step in the room, I would be like, oh, this is that one.
Oh, this one. Yeah.
I've enjoyed the ones that were challenging to me 2 years ago that took extra time, generally still do, but I'll get to them quicker because those synapses connect and my memory helps.
Yes. You got that muscle milk memory.
Yeah. Got that muscle milk memory going. But that's like taking up, that has been taking up the majority of my time. I've barely been playing Rebirth because of being out of town. I dabbled twice this week and I'm in the...
Where are you?
I am...
Corel?
I'm in Corel, but I'm in that Stevens, are you playing
anything.
This game too?
Nope, don't say anything. Don't say anything about it.
Stevens is in trouble. Mikey's in trouble.
About it.
Jeremy, let's just say
he's about to be in trouble.
I'm not in trouble.
You're about
you
to
guys
be
are
in trouble.
You're about to be you guys
huge
are in big trouble.
Trouble.
Jeremy, I can't wait to tell everyone how big you're in big
I
fucking trouble.
I cannot wait to tell everybody about how much trouble you're in.
I'm gonna back both of you up, actually.
I'm with you fellers.
Jeremy's in trouble. What are you saying though, Connor?
Jeremy, I'm right before the gold saucer. So
great.
I'm deep into the coral region.
Great, great, great.
You know, meeting some people, someone who has a past in a certain area.
Yeah, maybe there's some friction about.
There's some friction about. There's some wine being poured on heads.
Yes.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, baby.
That's enough.
Baby.
And Jeremy's in trouble.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. So the reason why Mikey's in big trouble is he was supposed to be playing that game a long time ago and hasn't started it yet.
No,
I told you
I wasn't. I told you I wasn't going to start it. I told you.
Ever? I don't remember. Wait,
not
what did
ever.
You say?
Not ever. No.
You're not ever going to do it?
No, of course I am.
What are you waiting for?
We had. Well, are you? You're in big trouble. So. So let's talk about that.
Okay. All right. All right.
I guess it's a good kind of a segue. I'm playing Dragon's Dogma 2 right now.
That
and
is
I knew
sick.
I had this pre-ordered. Since I've definitely had Rebirth pre-ordered longer, but since we talked about on the first episode of this year.
Yeah.
About games coming out this year that we were like, yeah, what about this? And I think it was Danella brought it up. And he was like, I've never played one of these games, but I think I'm going to try. I literally that night got on PS Plus, got the old Dragon's Dogma, checked it out. And I was like, oh, I'm going to love the new game.
Yeah.
So like I played, I don't know, maybe like 3 hours of the OG. And I was kind of like, I got the gist of this world and this vibe. I was like, oh, I'm gonna love it, and I pre-ordered it then, so I knew that if I started Rebirth I would never get to this game.
That's
where I'm at.
I can verify that, like, Rebirth is, I think I just hit 80 hours on
it,
and it's like
out of town.
I've still got multiple chapters left, and I'm like,
I'll say I'm probably 40 hours, maybe 30, 40, and I'm almost done with Dragon's Dogma. And I had a feeling, you know what I mean? So,
okay, can we spend some time talking about Dragon's Dogma a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why you're in big trouble. in big trouble.
Okay, you're
you know what?
Everyone's in big trouble. You're almost out of big trouble because of Dragon's Dogma 2.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's why you are in big trouble.
You'd be in big trouble right now.
Everyone's in big trouble because
you have to go put your nose on the wall. That's what my parents made me do.
I don't know anyone.
Put your nose on the wall.
That's weird.
Just go put your nose on the wall.
I don't know anyone that's playing or has played like the OG. Like I don't hear anybody talk about it.
Right.
And
this
that's
might
weird.
Might be a good chance to gaslight Mikey, but continue, Mikey. Go ahead.
Cult classic, maybe, right? The Dragon's Dogma. One.
I feel like that's like in the zeitgeist, but it's like who do we know that's playing it or is like swears by it? I don't know anybody.
It looks and like it's a kind Jacques of, game to me.
And I bet he hasn't played it.
I bet.
It does you know look mean? Like a Jacques game.
But my point is,
here,
I
tell
think
me
this,
tell me if you think this joke
game,
works.
This game? Okay.
Tell me if you think this joke works. Tired Dragon's Dogma. Wired Kevin Smith's Dogma. You know, like the movie.
And the question is, does that joke work? Yeah.
It depends on who's hearing it.
Yeah. Kevin Smith's Dogma is something you haven't thought about in a long time. Okay.
Well, it's the second one too. So
yeah,
it's the sequel.
Okay, so tell what? So okay, what is?
So here's the thing. This is Connor. You would like this game.
Mm.
Jeremy, you would like this game. Jacques, okay. He would like this game. McCaller, he would like this game. Hearn, he would like this game. Diaz, he would like this game. Schnupp. He would like this game.
Yeah.
Costanza, he would like this game. The whole gang.
Yeah.
PJ. Who am I leaving out? Who am I forgetting here?
Maybe Courtney?
Courtney.
She would like this game.
Yeah.
I truly think there's something for everybody in this game. It's such a fucking little, I describe it as a little weirdo. It's literally trying to do its own thing, which is insane. While also doing like the universe is like almost trite, like it's like just down the barrel fantasy, but then it's like, and I was kind of doing some research on it, it's Capcom's impression of like Game of Thrones, like Western fantasy. Mm. Right, so it's like this like JRPG take on like Skyrim or something. So it's like these like Bayonetta action fight battles, you know what I mean? Like it's like an action RPG fantasy game. It is so fucking weird. It's so weird, and it's like a little janky. Like it's like a little like kind of climbing is like bad in it, you know what I mean? Kind of thing. It's like, so it's like, it's so strange and so weird. But like it's really cool.
Some fun pawns in this game.
Yes, so that like that's the whole thing is like you recruit a party. You have like one main dude, and they're called pawns, and they're just people that like follow you, and you can have up to four. So like a four is a complete party, and the people that you recruit to your party are like designed by other players. So it's like if I design a pawn, you can essentially hire my pawn into your world to be a part of your party.
That's cool.
And they will have their own little quests. It'll be like defeat an ogre, and like, you know, their player can set like a bounty, or like it'll be like you get 1,000 gold if you complete your pawn's quest. So there's all these like weird little fucking systems. What I think it really shines is there's a vocation system or job system, whatever class, where you can constantly change shit, and then you can sub out different passives essentially from each vocation to kind of customize a build, a class, if you will. So you can like, there's like ranked 1 through 9 is like max vocation. So if you start as a mage, you can hit 9 and then you can switch jobs and just be a fighter. So you're not like locked into being anything. There are like main character specific classes that you can only get. that your pawn can't do. But that's like, it's weird, but it's like kind of like Souls like at times, like where you're taking down these huge like monsters. It just has like weird ass mechanics. Like there's a grab mechanic.
Is it like Monster Hunter a little bit too? That's
yeah,
what people were saying is like
kinda.
You kind of like have to grapple onto like dragons sometimes.
Yes.
And
yeah, you have
them
to like literally like get onto shit and like climb it and find like the weak spot. It's so it's so weird. It's
I'm
like
so,
I've
I'm so good at finding the weak spot.
Yeah, it's I love it. I've been having so much fun with it. It's a really good loop. I think the story is so boring and dumb. Like
really? So kind of not like
that's just not
the
where this game shines. Yeah, like it's like I could care less. Like the story is like who cares? But like where it shines is for me where Skyrim really shined. But Skyrim had a cool story that I kind of was interested to see where it went. Right. But it's like when you just go out, just leave town, and just go, just wander around. That's where Dragon's Dogma is like amazing.
It sounds like a game I'd love to get locked in a vacuum and just only have that game to play for the next few months.
I just don't think you'll I don't think you'll feel like I haven't felt like oh I gotta keep spending time in it. It's very easy to pick up and put down.
That's good.
Very
to know,
easy to like
actually. I was kind of one reason I was avoiding that, and there's another game out that I'm kind of avoiding right now because it looked like a game I would get sucked into and like have to like spend like 1,000 hours in. So you're saying that no?
I don't think so. I think it's there for you if you want. There's definitely like there's a new game plus and all that stuff. There's multiple endings, and if you care enough, I just don't. I think where this game shines, I think the vibe is like on the like open road adventure, you know, the camping and the just finding a weird cave and running into a fucking ogre and having to climb it and, you know, wrestle it around and
some
changing your party around.
Looked really nuts online of like, you know, a bear, you're fighting a bear and the bear like falls and like catches himself on the other side of a cliff, so then the bear creates like a bridge and you like walk across the bear. Like have you seen
this? God, no,
that, it's like,
but
it's like
that's
the
awesome
silliest looking thing, like weird it's, fringe case scenarios of things
yeah
that can happen.
I just like it's refreshingly strange, I'll say that. Like again, I don't think the story is very interesting. I just don't think those are the things that like matter. It's all these weird little mechanics and like systems in this game where I'm like, I've never seen anything like this. And I can't believe, I mean, again, I do acknowledge that there is like a cult following around this game. I just don't personally know anyone who's ever been like, Mikey, you should play Dragon's Dogma. Yeah. You really like it. So I'm here to fucking, I'm championing this game. This game is great.
Preaching the good news.
Truly.
Dragon's
everyone,
Dogma.
Everyone fucking get in there. Get your group a little weirdos.
I'm gonna get in there. I'm gonna
it's
get
fun
in there. Is it a game that you've been playing with friends online?
No, you can't.
Oh,
you
can't. Oh,
no.
That's the only way you can do it is through pawns. Basically.
Yes. So
okay,
it's just like you can like recruit my pawn into your world. That's the only interaction.
This game
that
sounds
would be fun,
so
but
sick. It's also does because like I have not played Baldur's Gate 3 yet, and I was like, but this feels like a good game I could play in between Rebirth and Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate 3 is like you buckle up for another 80 hours.
Dang.
You know, this is like
God, I love
this
video
was
games.
This was like exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
At the time it found me. You know what I mean?
It
highly
sounds,
recommend.
It sounds freaking sweet. Connor,
it's
what
great
do you think? You gonna check this out?
I love hearing people talk about it.
Yeah.
I do. It's another one of those games. Like, I know it's not exactly a FromSoft style game, but when I've heard people on podcasts talk about it, I'm like, this sounds fantastic. I don't know if I'll ever pick it up. I wish that I was forced to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another game I'm kind of have my eye on that I'm avoiding right now. It's Rise of the Ronin. You guys seen anything or care about this?
I have. I almost feel like I'm like such a Ghost of Tsushima stan. I'm like, I ain't never gonna play this bullshit.
It got great reviews. It's from a great developer.
Fuck that game.
Oh my god. Oh no.
No, I might. I feel weird playing what seemingly feels like the same thing. I'm kind of like,
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it. I don't know. You thinking of getting it, Schmidt? Or
well, yeah. I mean, only because, and I mean, we'll get into it in just a second. But it's like there is fucking nothing on the horizon.
Dragon's Dogma 2, baby.
Yeah.
Get it.
I mean, there's nothing. I mean, there's Elden Ring DLC for the psychos, and then it's like, you know, kind of. It looks like a crazy bear year.
And not bare in the sense that Stevens was just talking.
Not like falling off a cliff, creating a bridge kind of bare.
So when are you going to start Rebirth? Because I almost texted you the other day, but you know why I didn't? Because I knew I was going to be disappointed by the answer.
Because you're going to be in big trouble.
Because you were going to be in huge trouble when I found out that you're not even started Rebirth.
It's good that you didn't text me because I was going to make you put your nose on a wall, buddy.
No, but
you're in
Jeremy,
fucking trouble.
Put your nose on the wall. I don't want to put my nose on the wall. Screaming.
That is some weird shit, man. Parents be having some weird shit, man.
I kind of like put your nose on the wall because it's like, it is a punishment. You definitely don't want to do it, but it's not really violent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
It just is like psychologically
shame.
Psychologically bizarre.
I feel like my stepmom was the queen of shit like that. I would eat burnt toast for ever because she was like, it'll make burnt toast make you beautiful. And I'm just like,
what?
Mom, you burnt this toast. Like, that's just what happened. But it's like a way to just trick kids into being like, no, that toast is good, actually.
Yeah.
I believe that for years. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I would char my toast and be like, I want to be beautiful. That's I want in on this.
I'll tell you what, folks. I'm taking put your nose on the wall and I'm taking burnt toast.
Makes you beautiful.
Yeah. Take that into your relationship.
Yeah.
Rebirth, playing it, loving it. Don't want to say too much, obviously, Mikey, because I don't want to spoil anything for you. But there are some like really beautiful moments in it. So many great, beautiful sequences. Connor, we were texting back and forth about something kind of recently.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it's like, it is, it's the game of the freaking century. It's just so great. But it did inspire today's topic, which is video game bloat and wanting to talk about it. And what is it? And what do we consider bloat? And what do we not consider to be bloat? Also, this other thing I've been playing is called Bomberman 94. You guys ever? Who? Does anyone like Bomberman?
I loved Bomberman back in the day.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude.
Loved it. So it's up there with
Bomberman.
GoldenEye memories of some of the best couch co-op is playing Bomberman.
Dude,
Bomberman's
playing two-player Bomberman on an NES in the late 80s, early 90s is like a huge vibe.
Yeah.
I think we found our next game night. Just Bomberman.
Bomberman. Yeah. Yeah.
Super Bomberman. That's the one.
Oh, Super Bomberman's great. Yeah.
Super Bomberman's the one.
So there's this system that came out called the TurboGrafx-16. You guys know about this. It was like around the time of the Genesis and Super Nintendo.
Yes.
I recently got a Turbo Graphics EverDrive cart and the attachment for the analog pocket. So I'm just playing all these Turbo Graphics games. And Bomberman 94 was this like, it only came out in Japan and I'm playing it now. And it's like so sick. And it's got like the coolest soundtrack. And I'm just like, in this Bomberman, you can like, find these eggs around the map that turn into little dinosaurs, and you jump on them, and then you ride this dinosaur around and do Bomberman stuff.
Sounds like a character Stevens is quite fond of.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't characters like that.
I don't
like
know.
The weird lizards.
I love Yoshi.
Sounds like you love
Not
Yoshi.
Not ringing any bells.
It's Bomberman's just the best, you know. That mechanic, or like it's almost kind of like a Pac-Man to me, or like something. It's like an early, very simple. All you do is lay out bombs and bomb away doors. And
Bomberman is one of those series that at the beginning of so many launch of so many like Nintendo consoles, I feel like there happens to be one that's like one of four games that's out. And I'm always like, maybe Bomberman's one of the, like, I'm going to get the big game. And then is Bomberman the other one?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
is it Bomberman?
Like, I'd never end up
picking
it up.
I'll do Pilot Wings. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's amazing. And I would like to get together and do a Bomberman game night. There's a thing called a multi-tap for a Sega Saturn, and there's a Sega Saturn Bomberman that's supposed to be good, and you can play like 8-way Bomberman. Like,
so all we need
people.
Is 8 Sega that Saturn controllers.
Yeah, you need 8 Sega Saturn controllers, 8 people who want to do this, and you're in business. All right. Well, why don't you say we get into the news? We got some new releases that came out this week. Turbo Golf Racing.
Great.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but
it does sound sick.
I have to know now.
Yeah, Turbo Golf Racing.
I know normally we just blow past these, but that sounds intriguing.
I know. It sort of just... It makes the most sense in the world to me. You know what it looks like? It looks like a Rocket League.
Yeah.
That could be good.
I've been playing a version of Rocket League recently, Jeremy, but I'll keep the rest to myself. I think you might be familiar.
Okay, interesting. I like this.
This is some more Final Fantasy VII bullshit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Freedom Planet 2 came out. The genre platforming.
Tight. That's tight.
Oh my gosh. You guys remember how we were all really excited when the trailer for Botany Manor came out?
Oh, yes.
Well,
is Botany Manor out?
It finally did Botany Manor.
Oh, and I'm not going to get it, but so dope.
And that's the game about plants with like good social etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah. Botany Manor.
Just one.
Mm-hmm. They have one manor, and it's
they
like...
one manor.
It's napkin and lap.
It's a short game.
Yeah.
It's not
long. I'll tell you what, that game's not bloated.
Yeah, no. And then, of course, who could not have pre-ordered Children of the Sun. Devolver.
Cool.
What about Oh no.
Jeremy's clicking between too many tabs. He lost the one that had the
thing. I did. I lost it. Oh, okay. And what about, of course, House Flipper 2?
Oh.
I actually hate to break the bit, but I've heard that's pretty cool.
Is it cool?
I've heard that the house flipper is fun.
Do you have to balance it on its pointy roof with its floor pointed high at the sky?
That's the hard part.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Credit to Molly Kiernan for that joke. That's a Molly Kiernan original. House flipper. She did a whole sketch about a guy who
flipped the house.
Flipping a house means turning it upside down.
Okay. I'd watch that.
What do you guys think about Gears of War?
It's a big blind spot for me.
Yeah. Gears of War is fun at one point.
Yeah.
In time.
Is it over? There's Gears of War 6 is reportedly coming this summer.
Wow.
Yeah. But my question is, is it over, you know?
I thought it was at one, you know? I thought that was it.
Yeah.
They keep making them.
They made a lot over the years.
You know, I got Gears Tactics.
Ooh.
They did a tactics game.
That sounds fun.
Pretty good. Yeah. It was fun. It's like a, you know, XCOM knockoff kind of deal.
Yeah.
But it was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I played the first one. And I played it when I got my Xbox Series X, so like a couple of years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was playing it then, I was it was like, oh, this is old, and this is like kind of crazy. They don't make games like this anymore. Like
I inherited.
Come on, hoorah! Like so. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I inherited when my friend's Xbox 360 died, and at the end of college, he was like, "That's it for me. You can have all of my games." And I have like a steelbook copy of Gears 1, and have never touched it.
Steelbooks are sick.
It's
dude.
A big old guy too. It's like a book.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think that vibe is like can't be done unironically anymore. Mm-hmm. Like right. Helldivers 2 is that, but like in a Starship Troopers kind of way where it's parody.
Yeah.
I still
but it's like when
back.
You're serious about that, it's like this is dumb. This is
yeah.
I
almost feel like I don't know, cuz I people like Gears of War 5. People like thought that game was good, but I almost feel like Gears of War and Halo both like struggle with this. Like they were games that were just so like military
of
forward and
yeah.
like and like come on, grunts, let's go blow a hole in this guy's ass.
Yeah.
And now they have to kind of like dial that back in ways, and I feel like it's...
I mean, you know, I'm sure it's for somebody. Somebody's probably stoked on that. It
yeah.
ain't me, but...
Right.
You know.
Well, but are you stoked on Stellar Blade?
There's like a demo out for that. I don't know what I don't know what it is.
My PlayStation tried to trick me into downloading that demo. It said I got a notification that said your demo's ready to download. And I was like, "Oh, it is?" I didn't even know, and I clicked it and it was a demo for Stellar Blade, and I was like, "You
like,
tricky."
I don't want this.
That's that new high fidelity like Devil May Cry Bayonetta looking PS exclusive.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Right. It's a game that they're seems like they're pushing pretty hard
because they have nothing else coming out this year.
Right,
it's weird, man.
Right, it's and it kind of looks anime style,
a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mhm.
And lastly, speaking of anime style, where are my Dragon Quest heads at? Where are you guys?
Is there a new are you talking
are
about
you?
Sandtown? Is that what it's called?
Sandland. Bandai Namco Sandland. Looks super.
Sandtown was
I
a
like
killer
Sandtown.
Album.
Yeah.
Sandtown, baby.
I like. Yeah. That looks awesome. I don't know if that's going to be good or not. I don't. But Dragon Quest. Square Enix reportedly reassigned the top Dragon Quest producer following delays of the game.
There's a new Dragon Quest coming?
There's a new Dragon Quest coming. They had a little brief trailer maybe a year ago or something. And
okay.
Also since then Akira Toriyama has passed. So
R.I.P.
It's like the last Dragon Quest game where he's designed direct characters and stuff. So we're all very excited. It would be the 12th game, I guess. And it also looks like they were going to take like a dark route this time. Mm. It was going to be a little bit more of an adult feeling game.
Interesting.
But this reassigning the producer is a bummer because it's like means that probably things aren't going well or something in the development of it.
That's too bad.
Yeah. But very excited to play a new Dragon Quest. I would love
that.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Connor, you ever play a Dragon Quest?
I've only ever turned on Dragon Warrior 1 for the NES.
Yeah.
But 11S Echoes of an Elusive Age Definitive Edition for the Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. That's one of those rainy day games where I think I know I'll eat it up and I just have yet to touch.
Yeah.
I do a lot of looking, not enough touching.
A lot of looking, a lot of liking, not enough touching.
It's true.
All right, well, what do you say we get out of the news and take a quick break? And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about video game bloat. We're going to talk a little bit about a lot of bloat. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back to Video Games, a Comedy Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Schmidt. We have Connor McCabe in the house. We have Mikey Stevens in the house. I was playing a game, a big, brand new blockbuster video game. The question kind of crossed my mind about video game bloat, this idea. And I think, Connor, we were having a conversation and you were describing some of your experience with this same big old blockbuster video game. And you were describing some bits of bloat or feeling that way. And I started just thinking about that in games writ large. Like, what is bloat exactly? When does something constitute bloat? And, you know, it's obviously a subjective thing, I think, to some extent, but it's like, when do we consider something to be bloat, I think is interesting. And then it got me thinking about, like, well, if something's bloat, does that mean I'm not enjoying the game I'm playing? And then I'm like, well, wait a second, like, you know, if you like a game, isn't more game always good? Sometimes not. We'll get into it. Connor, explain bloat as best you can.
Bloat would be described as excess.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I would describe it as the big green ghost from Ghostbusters.
Slimer.
Yeah.
Slimer's a bit of excess.
That's anything like bloat to
distracting
me.
You from your main objective. Anything that kind of gets you off that path, you know, some stuff is arguable because it's like enhances that, or you go down a little side road and you do a little side activity.
Did you guys both play the first Spider-Man?
Oh yeah, Spider-Man.
Released?
Yeah.
Spider-Man. Did you guys play that one?
Oh yeah.
I did.
Played that. Where played it all.
Miles Morales, I think, was like,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Beep boop. Like,
yes.
You know?
But Spider-Man 1 and 2, freaking bloat city.
Bloated. I think bloated.
And also,
totally
bloated. One worse than 2. A 2, I remember when it was coming out, when like the review embargo and stuff was up, it was like, oh, this game is like 25 to 30 hours for a completionist. And I was like, that sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, there's so much unnecessary shit where it's like, in that game, that's how I feel about bloat. Mm-hmm. I think there's also bloat in that there can be times. Last year, I felt bloated in that I had too much to play.
Oh yeah, like there was a girth of just
too many games, yeah. To where I was like, that's another version of bloat. But yeah, I think.
And you were always trying to like carry them around. Like you had all these physical copies, and so you were.
Well, I've never played an actual video game. It's just how can I like carrying them around.
Yeah, you're carrying them all around.
Yeah, and when there's too many,
it was hard.
Good ones,
it was hard to get.
I want people to see.
Yeah.
That I have them.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, it's like,
and you take them room to room.
Room to room. Yeah. And on flights. It's weird because it's like, well, you can only check one of these games. And I was like, well, I need all these games. How are people going to know that?
You get a carry-on and a personal item.
Yeah.
Your personal item needs to be stored in the seat under the seat in front of you.
Yeah, and I got 16 games carrying around.
You're asking people to hang on to your games for you on this flight.
But well, I think that Spider-Man 1 is like a... That's like... There's like... 15 hours, 20 hours of that game. I don't need it. I don't need it.
I think
it wasn't fun, you know? It was like, felt like a chore.
But let's break this down, because I think this is a good example. I think we all unanimously agree on Spider-Man having bloat. But then my next question is, do I not like being Spider-Man in this world? Because if I like being Spider-Man, isn't Infinite Spider-Man good? Isn't like the more the better? Like why are the pigeon missions a bummer or something?
I think, you know what it is a game has to be self-aware enough to understand what's fun about it. And yeah. I think sometimes games think like, hey, man, people are going to love these fucking pigeons. And it's like, no, man, that's no, I don't.
You know,
I like swinging around, beating up bad guys.
Yeah.
Whatever that loop is, like, ultimately, it's tricky because it's a game. It's a video game.
Right.
So it's creating really fun loops. What's the loop?
Yeah.
And so that to me is like where you stray from the funnest loop, whatever it is, that's bloat to me. So I agree. Yes, I like being Spider-Man, but this is still a video game. So like, what's the funnest loop in this game that I enjoy? It ain't fucking pigeons. It's I'll not. Tell you that right now.
But I would say that even the comp, like the combat scenarios with the dudes, there's like too many of those.
Yeah. Oh, I start ignoring the like alerts of like armed robberies. I'm like, they can figure it out.
Totally.
And I'm just like, no.
Because I think actually what's fun about that game in particular is the story.
Right.
Truthfully.
Yeah.
It's a comic. And what's fun is you're playing through a comic story. Yep. And I think like that's what's fun about that game. So all this other shit is like, it ain't that fun. The fights don't matter. Why am I going to stop and fight every single... You know what I mean?
Well, that... I mean, there's something interesting there, too, right? Like, things feeling like they don't matter. Like, that, to me, signals bloat right away. Like, in Final Fantasy VII Remake, a game you have played, I think, right, Mike?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Saving the cats. Like...
Sure.
You know what I mean? A mission like that where Cloud even says in the game, he
Loved
says like,
it.
That sucked. It's like, is that, you know, that to me, it doesn't matter. It like, it's so innocuous.
Here's a couple things. The first one is, I think the reason that we might perceive more games to be bloated now, or that it's such a hot topic for us, is because I feel like it starts with a lot to do with the pricing of games and how much like the, you know, publishers selling a game are like, this needs to be this long in order for our customer to feel like their $60 to $70 spend is worth it. And I think that whole formula is a little out of whack, where it's like, for the people on this conversation, we're like, yeah, I'll spend $70 on Spider-Man 2 and play it for 25 hours and I'm satisfied. Whereas there are some complainy weenies out there who are like, no way, I didn't get my money's worth. And
that's interesting.
It depends on how we value our time and what constitutes like a you know, full price experience too. But, yeah, it's just, it ends up being hard to ignore those like little things in the game, or another Mysterio mission, or another little battle.
I think
where we could start is
that's an interesting point.
I think we could start with just like, I don't know, take a button off the controller, like one less button. Have we thought about that?
And make
like,
it and make shit. It circle, because that's the bloatiest button.
I was gonna say, what if no circle?
What if no circle? Yeah, and that's how you back out of menu stuff. So there's no, you got to commit. You got to go deeper into the menu.
That will force the developer to simplify that loop, because if you can't back out, then you only got to move forward. You start at the controller. We're getting somewhere here.
I mean, you're not. There's something to that.
You're not wrong. Cut the controller in half.
Well, you got games like Vampire Survivors, right?
Yeah, one button.
That truly, direction, move around. That's it.
Yeah.
Because they put the effort into the loop. What's the fucking loop?
I might even say that game. Why am I even moving around? What if? what if there was no moving?
Yeah.
It's one of those AFK games, one of those fucking idol games. They got those, Connor. I got a game for you that I think no fat, Short and sweet.
Okay.
Stray.
Oh.
Did you guys play Stray?
I started it.
Stray is like very short.
Yeah.
And I left like honestly wanting more of it, but I was like, that was great.
Yeah.
And I was done. And it's like 10 hours. It's like, if that. It's not long.
You can do it in an hour, I bet.
Yeah, truly.
That's
truly.
Yeah.
If you just like mainline the story, you could finish that game in an hour, I feel like.
Did you ever play that,
like,
Connor? Did you ever play Stray?
I did. I booted it up. I bought a special edition of this game.
So good.
Nice.
From I Am 8-Bit. So I've got, speaking of steelbooks.
Oh,
I got
beautiful.
A steelbook of this thing. And some other, speaking of excess, I didn't need it. I should have just gotten the digital copy on PS Plus.
For free, yeah.
Yes. But that is, to your point, Stevens, a game that leaves you wanting more versus a game that you couldn't put down quicker. That has a nice lasting aftertaste to it.
Yeah
like
nice
to your point about, like a studio just putting more is like, I don't give a shit about that. Give me more of something that matters.
Yeah.
Cool. But if you're just adding more dumb fucking pigeons, more fights, I don't care.
Well, here,
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Here's my one of my questions about this as well is like, to off of Connor's idea. What if the opposite is true and Spider-Man is the only game you get that year? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And then
like
and,
good, like good game or a good, like,
or
that's
like
the only
you're
good
a kid
release,
and
or,
you know, you'd only get
oh,
two
I
games
see.
And it's like on your birthday and on Christmas. I don't think there's a person out there like this anymore, probably, because games are quite a bit cheaper than you can get deals on it. But anyways, if Spider-Man 2 is like the one game that you're going to buy, then
yeah.
is there a, can there be bloat on it? Like,
great question.
Cause like, I'll say this, like my thing with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth right now is that like, I just want more. Like I'm in this place where I love every single little stupid side quest I'm doing for the kids or whatever, like whatever I'm doing in that, I'm just like loving every second. I don't want it to end. But that's just because I have like Stockholm syndrome for Final Fantasy VII. I'm like, it's like my favorite thing aesthetically and stuff. So
it's a great question, Jeremy, because, if you don't have much to play throughout the year, or this is your big experience and you want to wring every ounce out of it, then those things can feel, depending on how they're handled, can feel really rewarding to the player. Like in Spider-Man 2, to their credit, the backpack. Or was it the backpack side quest? No, the Spider-Bot side quest. There's way too many of those things.
Right.
But I do like the designs of them. And it did give a satisfying story teaser at the end of that quest. So am I hypocritical in being like, well, I liked that one. I think it also comes down to, like, if you don't want to play something, should we just not interact with the bloat if we don't have to?
Yeah, like does the bloat hurt us?
I've come full circle now.
Is the bloat hurting us?
Yeah. Do we maybe want another
first
button
of
on
all,
the controller?
Should we add one?
If that, for that little kid, if that's the only game you're getting, get a fucking job, okay? Get a job. Okay? Yeah. All right, you little piece of shit. You want another game? Get out there.
Yeah.
And I know you don't want to work. I know your generation. Nobody wants to work.
Nobody wants to lift a finger for Taco Bell. Well, guess what?
Wash some fucking dishes, you whiny little piece of shit. Now, to your point, I still feel like, man, that's tough. So you would you consider these quests that you're doing bloat though in Final Fantasy VII? Do you feel like I don't need this and you just like it because it is a Final Fantasy VII? Or do you think it does like add yes?
I think yes. Because Connor, you would consider a lot of that stuff bloat, right?
Some of it, yeah, but I say that, Jeremy, and I'm interacting with all of it.
Yeah, I'm doing
everything.
See, then everything.
That to me is like, I don't consider that bloat then.
Yeah. I will say this. I think the rewards are not meaningful. So that makes it feel sort of...
I mean, that's like relative. Because if you're finding value in it, that's...
Yeah, right, right.
Who cares what the... I
the
mean,
reward was the journey.
Gill. Yeah, but kind of.
And I took that journey on a chocobo.
Yeah. I have... Okay. I think a good example, I got another one. FF15.
Yeah.
There was a... Yeah, kind of. There was like a lot of shit where I was like, I don't want to do most of this stuff.
Or 16. But you know, 16 was another game where I'm just like, oh.
Another game where it was like,
oh,
like,
no.
Let me just get through this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
we play a lot of games too. That's another thing is like, I think we're more sensitive. I'm super sensitive to bloat because I'm like,
we have jobs.
We have jobs,
and I'm not spending my fucking hard-earned money.
Yeah. I just have a lot of stuff I want to get back to or play or like that has my interest. And and if I feel like you're wasting my time here, even for a second, I'm like throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
I don't need to introduce another topic to this.
No, dude.
I was gonna say, like an example in Rebirth, Jeremy. This isn't even so the whole item transmuter like system where you collect materials in the world, kind of like
crafting.
The Horizon series. The crafting is one of those things where I'm like, would I rather just be picking up more, you know, kind of like when you smash boxes and stuff, potions appear.
Yeah.
Would I rather just that or do I like this transmuter thing? I think I like the sounds that it makes when you transmute something and when your level goes up of your item transmuter level went up. You can craft better stuff. I generally that has like very little substance to me. The only thing I think I get out of it is that it causes me to, when I'm running through the world, to go look at this cliff because I see a little like item like UI thing coming out of it. So I'm like, I'll go get that item.
Yeah.
And it's got a
gold border. Things just can't be feel like an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Because like there are times where crafting systems are fun and there's games built around like crafting, right? So I just feel like if you're going to have a title of that magnitude, it can't just feel like, well, and we got to have crafting because whatever, people like crafting. And then it just feels, that's how it feels.
That's
how you interact
with
it.
That's how most games with crafting feel, I think.
I don't agree. Like, I was going to bring up Zelda, and I was going to talk about Zelda's cooking. And I think Zelda's cooking is so satisfying and fun, and it's just a silly little, you know, quote-unquote, additional thing in this world. But it's like, it didn't feel like... To me, anyway, it didn't feel like an afterthought. It felt like, oh, this is like a cool, creative little system in this. That's like, you can go down that rabbit hole of like learning all the recipes. And like, it's like deep enough for you to find enjoyment with just that part of the game.
Big time.
Because they treat it like its own little mini game.
It's a
and
big
I feel like
part of that game, I think, actually.
Well, but it doesn't have to be. Because I'm sure there's plenty of people who are like, I ain't cooking shit. I don't care. But you know what I mean? Yeah. It's there if you want it.
Right.
But I feel like if you engage with something like that and it doesn't feel like thought kind of went into it, that's bloat, baby. It's bloated.
God.
Then it's like, it feels like it's just put in there just because, where it's like, oh, this could be, like you're describing it as it could just be some shit you find in a crate. That's not a good system. Mm-hmm. Like,
there's,
you know,
it's funny. I would have, if you would have told me that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, like they also put a card game in it, I would have been like, well, that's unnecessary. But then to your point, Stevens, I'm playing it and I'm like, this was so well thought out and intentional.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad that this is in the game and I have to participate in every match that
I
can.
Dude, the card game is the fucking best shit in the world.
I mean, Gwent in The Witcher 3. Incredible. Blitzball, Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
Like, there are times where The side games. Oh, you did not a Blitzball fan?
I just remember having to do so much of that to get like Waka's ultimate weapon. You have to like do like so much Blitzball.
Oh, Jeremy, I loved it.
Yeah. And you got to know all the guys who are the best at it.
I heard that Mikey Buckets was pretty good at Blitzball.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Mikey Buckets rocked at Blitzball.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, there's times where it feels like a studio will just put some shit in because they feel like they got to appease an audience as opposed to like, well, let's make this also fun. Let's make this.
I feel like
its own thing.
We could close out by like going around and just saying a bunch of games that we feel like don't have this, like kind of sidestep this, or like we feel like maybe we've been naming a bunch, but I want to name some more just to shout them out. I'm going to go ahead and start with saying like the Souls games, like, because the Souls games are, you have to like the mechanics of combat and puzzle solving. Once you get into that loop, you just want more. You want infinite of it. You want it to be the never ending thing. I would say that. Yeah. I would say that even a game like Elden Ring.
I hate admitting that you're right, but
dude,
you're in trouble. Put your nose on the wall.
Even a game like Elden Ring, that should be the bloatiest game of all time. It also has crafting, but the way they designed it.
That's a great, great example. Well, it's like, I think the Souls, to their credit, that world, harsh as it is, everything matters.
Yeah.
Like, just fighting a little stage one guard in the field can feel like a fucking boss fight
if you
start fucking up. Like, and, you know, don't take it seriously. I think you're right.
Every item you pick up could bear extreme significance to your player.
It's true.
To the point where when certain items don't and players figure it out, they go nuts. They're like, why does this thing even exist? It's like one item out of a billion you've picked up.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, that's a great example, Jeremy. Proud of you, man.
Dude.
That's good.
I ain't no slouch, you know? I come here, I show up. What do you guys think? Games that you've experienced?
Loatless.
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about Valve earlier. Portal 1.
Oh, yeah. Both Portals.
Portal 1, you absolutely, and I felt this way about 2, but I felt like the case was easier to make for 1. 1, I was like, oh my gosh, that was the best 3 hours I've ever had in gaming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's up there for me big time.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, Half-Life 2 might be another one that's kind of close.
Yeah, I think the Half-Life 2 is saved by its really great pacing and set pieces there. Like, I think it's got more bloat than... I think Portal 2, the portals are a little more clean.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But yes.
I already said it, but I think Stray is bloatless. Mm-hmm. Short. I think any game that's short and sweet has an advantage. With Elden Ring being an insanely good example of something with a lot of shit that everything could matter.
Yeah.
So that's good
stuff. And it's like for your story, for the story maybe, but also just for your build. Like, you know, like if you're going for a specific build, parts of that game matter significantly more than others.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know. I don't have any others.
I'll throw an RPG out there.
Oh, please. That's more what I'm looking for, too, I think, because, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original Paper Mario, I think, is, like, pretty bloatless. And Thousand Year Door, it's kind of like a Portal 2 thing where it's expanded out and into my taste way better, and the ideas are even more creative. But Paper Mario 1, I think... could have an argument for this.
You know, I want to throw one I did mention versus the newer iteration. Mm. Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think 2 is bloated.
Yeah, sure.
I think
Breath of the Wild 2 is bloated, whereas I think Breath of the Wild is like a masterpiece.
Yeah.
I think there's no fringe weird bullshit. It's like you want to discover every inch of that world. And I found myself in 2 being like, I could do without this underground
shit. I know.
At times,
and it's a bummer,
like, I don't...
because at first I liked it. And then after a long time, I was like,
I think too much of it.
Yeah.
Too much, right? Like, yeah.
And I did the hell out of that area too, because I tried to get all the outfits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I touched every inch of that game, and I would agree that there's an argument to be had there for sure.
I wasn't enjoying every inch of that game like I did Breath of the Wild. Yeah. Like, I wanted to, every nook and cranny, I wanted to find it. And that second one, I found myself at times being like, just let me hang out with my friends out on the surface.
All right, folks. Well, I think that's going to do it for Video Games, that comedy show. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Before we go out, though, we're going to hear a round of plugs from Mikey. Let's start with you. What do you got going on?
Big news, y'all.
Uh-oh.
My team graduated from Herald Knights, baby. Cap and gown style. Bitchin', if you're in the Los Angeles area, is paired with Rita Repulsa. Second Fridays of every month. Working title is Bitchin's Big Sloppy Fuck Around. That's probably not going to be what
Sounds
the show
like
is called.
Sounds like a pitch.
Yeah. Shout out to Rachel's significant other, Garrett.
Oh.
That was a Garrett pitch.
Okay.
And we all just were like, we fucking love that.
Where'd you go, Garrett?
Probably
Palm?
Not going to be your title. And that show's coming up in a couple weeks. And I'm here to tell you, I still don't know what we're going to do.
So it'll
be a good time.
That's a great pairing, too. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Come check that out. Yeah. It's a good time.
That rocks. Connor McKay.
Follow me on the stuff. Mikey loves Mikey.
Mikey loves Mikey. Yeah.
Especially on Venmo.
Venmo.
Yeah. Venmo me.
My Herald team, not cut. Still around. I'm still on Herald Night. I never plug it, but folks, I'm around. Check out XOXO every other Monday.
I believe it's your Herald team is uncut.
Yeah, we do refer to ourselves as uncut. So check us out every other week on Herald Night. You can follow me on social media everywhere, Connor_McCabe. Check out my podcast, Call Me By Your Game. It's a part of this network. I sit down with people and talk to them about meaningful games from particular moments in their lives. The last episode, you got to listen to it. We talked to Sydney O'Toole about an oft-forgotten game, 2001's Christmas Disaster, an amazing game made by Will Wright, the maker of The Sims, and it's a Christmas preparation simulator. It's amazing. I'm sure, Stevens, did you play this growing up?
No.
Cool. It came out on April 3rd, the episode, 2 days after April 1st, so no coincidence there. And then, follow me on Twitch. I stream video games on Twitch at twitch.tv/consiscool69. I've been playing Bioshock for our games club. I played through Half-Life 2 there. Jeremy and I stream Halo games almost every Tuesday. We're starting.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this the day this podcast comes out on Monday, tomorrow night at 7 p.m.-ish Pacific time, we're starting the Halo 3 co-op campaign, so stop on by.
Cannot wait. Halo, what a journey. Halo Hogs, baby. Oink, oink. We are in we're in deep with that Halo 3. I can't wait. Yes, of course. Follow me on Twitter at Ocarina of Crime. Follow the show on Twitter at VGA Comedy Show. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/supernpcradio. We got a lot of bonus content over there, including our Games Club series, where we are playing through Bioshock and talking about our journey as we go. It has been so great. Would you kindly go over there and do that? We'll talk soon.
Would you kindly?
We'll talk soon, guys. We'll talk soon. And I'm talking to you, listener. Well. Bye.